Welcome back to Messy in the Middle. Joining me today, I have Monica Bullington. Monica is a realtor, burnout coach, and recovering overachiever, helping people regain control of their lives and play by their own rules, and presumably also find housing. Monica, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. It's good to be here.
Happy we finally made it. For our listeners, a little peek behind the curtain, I was very embarrassed to have to reschedule, like, this is our third try, but we made it. We're here.
But I think that it's important that we realize that there are some things in life that have to happen when they have to happen, and some things can get rescheduled, and it's totally okay, and let's not stress out about them.
You sound like my therapist.
I do get that a lot.
Then let's just dive right in. So, recovering overachiever, then you become a realtor and a burnout coach and like maybe other things, like the multi-hyphenate overachieverness. Like, how did that kind of like title soup come together and get to where you are right now?
Yeah. Well, the overachiever thing has, that's like the basics. That's like high school Monica learning how to live and get attention in a chaotic world. My father was an alcoholic for most of my life until just a couple years ago. And so overachieving, which, by the way, this took forever for me to understand. I did not understand this at the time. But overachieving was my way of getting attention in a chaotic household. That followed me for a very long time. And eventually I became a realtor. I did a couple of other things, but I became a real estate agent in 2015. And I mean, I immediately was like, great. And I don't know how to say this without sounding like a complete jerk face, but I was told what to do. There's kind of a formula in real estate. You do these things and you become successful. And I did that. And I won every award there is to win. I can see my shelf of awards. And that was kind of what I knew. I knew you do this thing and then you do the next and you keep going and you keep going and you just keep going. And it was not until I won Realtor of the Year in 2021 that I finally was like, well, crap, what's next? Like, I was at the top and it didn't occur to me. Like, I didn't have a long-term plan, and suddenly I was at the top of my game and I was like, I can't do this anymore. And that was when, about 6 months later, it was the 10th anniversary of my mom's death. She died when I was 23. And I had a lot of questions around, why am I working so hard? She's not here to see me. What is this for? And why are all of these feelings of overachievement and my mom's death and the burnout, like, why are these all happening at the same time? And like, why are these digging each other up? So that led me on the path of like self-discovery and research and learning all of this, and then putting myself, like, figuring it out by myself, and then realizing, like, I don't want to make other people have to like figure this out by themselves.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha. Yeah. Thinking about like the concept of like being a realtor as your career is like, just listening to you talk about it, it seems like such a fun and like easy thing to gamify of like, oh, I want to do this, like reach this milestone, get this award, do this, do that. And then it's like, I feel like after a certain point, it sounds like it stops being about winning and it starts being about like being afraid to lose. It makes me think of like, I don't know if you were like a Dance Moms watcher, but like how they won and then it just reached a point where it was like they didn't even really care about winning anymore. It was just they were scared to lose.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Then it's like, what do you do now?
Yeah. I mean, real estate is one of those professions that the barrier to entry is very low. Mm-hmm. You don't need a college degree. You basically, I think now you have to be 21 years old, at least in Illinois. And like the cost is probably like, I don't know, $2,500 to like get up and going. That's very low for the amount of money that you can make. It's very appealing. And I never really saw myself, I didn't think I'd get here, but you know, to do real estate, but I did it because I thought I wanted more control over my time and I wanted to be involved in like a happy part of somebody's life. And, turns out like, I thought I was doing this because I wanted to be in control of my own time. I worked a 9 to 5 job where, like, you sit in your chair from exactly this time, and dear God, do not get up 1 minute early. And I got my work done in 2 hours, and I was like, what? Why am I here? So entrepreneurship made sense for me. The problem was I grew up without having boundaries. I never learned them. And I only knew how to perform for attention. And so somebody would ask something of me and I wanted to please. And so I would say, yes, I'll show you that house tonight. Yes, I would love to do that. Yes. And what you think you're doing for your own, like, I get to be my own boss and make my own schedule. No, you have about, 10 bosses at any given time when you're working with different clients, and you are on their schedules, which means you're working nights and weekends, and you're working from the minute you wake up until the minute you go to sleep. At least I did. I mean, I'm sure there are people with healthy boundaries out there. I just was not
I'd
one
love
of
to
them.
meet one of them.
Yeah. There's probably not any in real estate. If you have figured this out, please contact me because I would love to know that you exist.
Yeah, because I feel like the risk too in real estate is like even if you're not thinking like as far as like performing for attention and like gotta be the best and please and please and please, there's still like the practical risk of, if a client wants to see the house at 10 and I don't want to do it until 4, in that time, someone else could like see the house, make an offer, and like lose it,
It is
right?
absolutely like the feeling of like I don't want to be the reason somebody doesn't get the house of their dreams. And that fuels everybody. And the feeling of not only for the other client that should come, the client should come first, but also like you don't know when your next paycheck is coming. So that's pretty ballsy to turn something down, right? Like you have to feel like you have enough. And that took me 8 years to finally feel like I had enough where I could start turning people away. I did build a team so I could leverage my time and have my team members do some of that work. That was kind of the first step in kind of regaining some of my time was having them do some of that stuff. But still, it's just them not having any boundaries and being able to say no instead of me. I'm not solving the big problem. I'm just making it not mine.
Yeah, I remember like when I bought my house in January 2021, and basically I decided like January 1st, I was like, I think I want to buy a house this year. And I closed on my house like January 19th, or like had the offer accepted or something like that. Like it was so fast. I looked at like 15 houses in like 5 days. It was crazy. And I remember the very first house that I looked at, I was trying to like have boundaries around it, and my realtor was like, when do you want to go see it? And I was like, oh, we can wait until Sunday, like it's fine. And we looked at the house and he was like, so best and final offers need to be in by 4 p.m. today. And I was like, oh, this is what this is gonna be like. Meanwhile, I have my parents being like, take your time, you don't have to make any decisions quickly, like blah blah blah, it'll be slow. And I was like, I don't think it's gonna be like that. Like my parents wanted to come with me to all the showings, and I was like, this is not gonna work. Not even close.
Logistically scheduled like that. Like people would tell me, okay, yeah, we can go on Saturday. I was like, it's gonna be gone then. And that's fine. I just need you to know that that's gonna happen.
But I also feel like, obviously if my parents' experience buying their house like 30 something years ago wasn't like that, and then like the time of like 2020 to 2022 was like this insane market, how has the like I guess change in trends of real estate over time impacted how you have to like have a relationship with those boundaries, especially as you're working on balancing having boundaries and also doing a good job at your job.
I'm one of the few people, and it's hard to say this, because there's a lot of bad things that happen with COVID. But personally, COVID was great in the sense that I was forced to not do anything. Like we were essential, but like the ways in which we conducted, I mean, my life, I went from every networking event, everything there was to do. I mean, I never sat down or did anything. I was constantly eating out. Like I was always gone. So COVID made me start from zero and then like build back up. Virtual showings, and I would do virtual buyer consultations. I was able to create video that I could use multiple times. And that was my first kind of like, ooh, I can use my time once and then leverage that where the same person can watch the same 30-minute video, get the same content that I was doing anyway. It's just not me doing it every single time. That's the first kind of like, ooh. And then things started to ramp back up, and I was just like, I kind of liked that not doing everything, mode. And then that's when I decided I was only going to work with sellers. Buyers was, it was just too crazy. And I needed some sort of like cut and dry place where I could say, if you are this, I cannot help you because it's too hard. There's too many people that would come to me and be like, oh, well, I'll do it for you. And oh, I'll do it for you. And then all of a sudden, all my boundaries are gone again. So saying I will only work with sellers. And I mean, I will say since I've done that, I've worked probably with two buyers a year, for like those really special, like the people that are really close to me or have like a specific reason why I don't want to pass them off. So that was the second moment of really realizing like, oh, I can control this. And understanding that I'm going to lose business as a result because my team's not going to do it the same way that I do it. And I have to be okay knowing that I'm not going to make as much money if they do it versus if I did it. And there's going to be attrition and there's going to be people that just, they wanted me and they can't get me. So they're just going to go to somebody else and I have to accept that. And that was a big lesson in learning like what is enough for me and saying, you know what, I could have a lot more money. What I can't have more of is my time. So like I have to protect it.
I have one more question about kind of like the business side of realtor stuff, and then I want to talk a little more about the burnout coach side of things. So I feel like something that a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with is kind of like there's the visibility side of things, and then there's like the business side of things. On the business side, though, I feel like from my understanding of like being a realtor and like that industry is that a lot of things are kind of like already set in stone. Like there's the percentage you pay to this realtor, the percentage you pay to that one, and like if there's a team, there's a split. Like all of those things are kind of laid out. So what kinds of, I guess, like negotiations or negotiating power or like decisions do you get to make on the business side of running a team? And what is kind of just like out of your control, and it's kind of nice to just be, this is what it is.
So we have so many layers of rules. So you have the National Association of Realtors, you have your state level, you have your local level, then you have your brokerage. And I'm a RE/MAX agent. So then you have RE/MAX, So there are so many different levels of rules and stuff. And most of it is ethics related. Commissions are one thing. Actually, we cannot set like, there's antitrust rules and stuff like that. So commissions are always supposed to be negotiable and not really set. But the fun part of the business of real estate is there are actually a lot of different ways you can do real estate. We're all independent contractors. And what's cool is, I mean, my brokerage wants me here. It's kind of the reverse of a job interview where like I would go to an office and they would interview me. As an independent contractor, I can go to any office in town and interview them and say, well, why should I give you my money? Because we're paying into our brokerages and stuff that way. But there are a lot of different models, the way that you can set up your team. There's partnerships, there's kind of the top person and then people underneath. There's buyer's agents. I mean, there's actually a lot of different little things that you can do, depending on how involved you want to be. I never wanted a big team. I only wanted enough people to help me leverage my time. I didn't want to spend my whole life managing 10, 20 agents just so I could say I'm this big, huge, powerful real estate team. I wanted to just have a few people that I knew could represent the Monica Bullington brand well.
And how has that, I guess, like experience and process been for you? Because I think a lot of people like what you experience when you do decide to like outsource or grow a team in any type of business is like, yes, there is that like relief that you're getting some things off of your plate and you're leveraging your time and you're getting your time back. But then there's also like, the loss of control and the learning curve and the readjust of like understanding your own role in your business. So what has been maybe like a surprisingly easy or positive part of that experience? And then maybe what has surprised you as being like more difficult than you were expecting?
Yes, if my office manager is listening to this, she is laughing right now. I mean, I was as big a control freak as anybody, so it was scary to let go. And especially with, for me, it was hard. Graphics and visuals. I am a creator. I love Canva. I love creating website stuff. Like, I am a tech graphic design junkie. I'm a visual person. That's my thing. So letting go of some of that stuff has been hard because I could see other people creating stuff and just be like, well, that's not how I would do it. There's nothing wrong with how she did it. Shut up, Monica. You know, like, you have to learn to pick, is this really worth it? Because again, what's the point of it? Why would I delegate something if I'm going to spend the whole time telling somebody else how to do it? That's totally negating the purpose. What I do like is there's a lot of mundane tasks in real estate that my brain is just not, the creative types are not meant for. And so having the opposite person, my office manager is very like, she loves a spreadsheet. She loves a to-do and like a task list and everything. And she will hound me until everything. I mean, I will tell her, here's what I want them to be. And she will not let it go until I do everything. And so that's great accountability because I say these are things I want to do in my business. And she's going to hold me accountable to make sure that they get done. I'm so grateful for her for that because I need that.
Gotcha. So then switching gears a little bit over to the burnout coach side of things, you said like you decided to get into burnout coaching because you had to figure it out all on your own and you didn't want other people to have to feel that way. What was that sort of burnout recovery process like for you? And then how do you, I guess, pivot that into like a coaching relationship? That's like a really big question.
Well, and it's a really big topic, to be honest. It really started when I realized a friend of mine who saw my post on I posted on Facebook about how does this all make sense and go together, and she posted it and or she reached out to me and was like, "Hey, I think you have a st like, would you mind sharing your story? We have a conference coming up. Like, could you do that?" And that was like an instant, like, "Oh." Yes, this is what I should be doing. Like, I had this huge like aha moment of like, this is how I get started. Like, people need to hear the story because people can't connect with perfection. They connect with the mess, and they need to be able to hear the stories behind it. And once I started putting out the ugly stuff, I was like addicted to it because everyone would tell me, oh my gosh, I went through the same thing, or I went through this. And all of a sudden, I was like, this was like the magic pill that I didn't know I needed when I was feeling so alone, that sharing that messy stuff was what brought me like connection and happiness. And it just like, I mean, it really changed me. So it started
Welcome
with,
to the thesis of this podcast.
yes, I know. That's why I was like, I gotta be on this. This is my life. Started with speaking, and then it kind of morphed into, I actually first started a program called the Resilient Real Estate Agent. That was like my first kind of like foray into this. And it was online coaching for real estate agents. But then I realized I really was stuck. I didn't want to be another real estate coach. There was plenty of them. I couldn't encourage people in a field where I felt like it was inherently working against you, and I just like mentally couldn't make it work. And so, because I started living out loud, that trial made it easier for me to take the next step. If I had been holding in what I wanted to do until I got it exactly right, I probably still would not have launched it. So it's like I had to at least get it out, so I could get feedback. And once you start explaining it to people, it evolves and starts making more sense and all that stuff. So, yeah, I did start as a resilient real estate agent. And then once I got rid of the real estate part, that's when it became Monica Bullington Consulting. And it was really focused on the burnout because that's what really I needed to tackle. So that's when it became a little bit more clear. So I do speaking and workshops around a couple different topics, you know, hustle culture. I have a keynote that's like the whole like kit and caboodle of my story and that kind of stuff. And then private coaching. And then I've just now launching a, I had a lot of people that were like, well, how do I don't have time, because burnout is, there's three components. There's exhaustion, there's cynicism, and there's inefficacy. And you can't work on anything if you're so tired. Like if I asked you to do a task right now and you're burnt out, like you'd want to punch me in the face. So the first thing you have to do is work on clearing your schedule. And that's what people think burnout recovery is. It's like, oh, I'm just doing too much. I'm overcommitted. I need to like get some things off of my calendar. And that's the first step that helps you breathe enough to be able to work on the deeper issues. The deeper issues are the, my mom died when I was 23, and I have been so afraid of dying. She died with no money, and I have been such a complete freak about money that I overwork myself because I'm scared of ending up like her. That's the kind of stuff that we work on. It's, my dad was an alcoholic most of my life. I didn't understand what healthy boundaries were, and I have to actually learn them from the beginning at the age of 34. But again, you can't go to those places. Those are not easy places to go until you have some mental space to breathe and be okay and feel safe before going into those areas.
Yeah, that resonates a lot with like I'm definitely I think in the exhaustion phase of being burnt out right now, and this is something that I'm like working on in therapy and all that stuff. But I said to my partner last night, like we have this really big weekend coming up, and like he needs the car, but I need to be somewhere, so like he needs to pick me up, and he's like, when do you need me to get you? And I'm like, maybe this time, but it might be earlier if I have a meltdown. And he like looks at me and he's like, well, do you want me to cook dinner on Thursday so you can have a meltdown then instead? And I was like, no, I don't have time to have a meltdown then instead. Like, I need to make it until next Friday. I have time on my calendar next Friday.
Oh,
I can
girl.
do whatever meltdown I want, but it can't be until next Friday.
Yeah,
And he was
that'll
like,
definitely work out.
okay. So yeah, I'm not gonna say the date because no one needs to know when we're recording this, but like, might be a rough week. We'll see.
Yes, it really is. You just like you hold on hope, like I just gotta make, but it never, I'm sorry to burst your bubble.
Oh no, the bubble's been burst. I know. I know.
You just like hold out hope, like maybe this time.
Yeah, I'd said to someone a few weeks ago, I was telling you I had COVID back in September, and I think like the day before I tested positive, I said to one of the people on my team, I was like, I don't know when, but the time is gonna come that I'm really just gonna need like a full week off with no one to like need anything from me. And I tested positive for COVID the next morning, and I was like, this is not the week off that I meant.
Yeah,
This is
really
making
mean
things worse.
today.
I needed to plan for a week, not have like a mandated one.
Yeah, well, life will get you that way.
Sure will. So for maybe people who are pre-burnout but nearing it, like, you know, not quite at that exhaustion phase yet, is there a way to like fast forward yourself through the phases? How do you work through the phase? Like, I understand that burnout recovery is a process, but also I have a very busy calendar. So how do our listeners work this in
Oh,
to life?
yeah. There is no hack to like you cannot hack your way through burnout.
Yes.
Most burnout takes like, I mean, it could take 3 to like 18 months to recover from. And there's some like when I heard that, it made me feel kind of better that I was like, okay, you know, like this is a process. Like, don't freak out because the overachievers in us are like, okay, we have a new task, we have a new goal in mind. We're gonna not be burned out. Let's like rush through this and get to it, and then like be not burnt out by next Thursday at 2. That would be great, right?
You literally saying 3 to 18 months, I was like, so I could be better by February? Like
Yes.
3 months? Let's go.
I mean, yeah, like if you really could take the time, but it takes a lot of like concentrated effort, and when you are burnt out, you're paying so much attention to what everybody else wants from you that you have to, the faster you can shed away all of your responsibilities and actually focus inward on yourself and being intentional about what you want out of life and your standards and expectations, that's probably the easiest way. I mean, I literally, when I realized what was happening, I was on like three committees with the local association, and I quit all of them. And I probably didn't need to like quit them. I probably could have
Right.
said, hey, like I need like a couple months. But my personality is like all or nothing. So I was like, I can't do this anymore. And that was the first kind of like, ooh, you can just quit things. I didn't know this. And then I was
I
like, well,
had
what
that
else can
ex
I quit? And I just kept going. And it was
I
awesome.
had that experience a few months ago. I was chairing a committee and I realized like 2 or 3 meetings in a row, I just like wound up wasting my day like crying because of how overwhelmed I was from like the way the meetings weren't going the way I was expecting them to. Not even like they weren't going my way, just like I thought we were going into the meeting with one goal and everyone else had a very different agenda and I like couldn't process it. And so I was like talking to my partner about it and he was like, well, are you like getting anything out of this? And I was like, no. And he's like, well, are you enjoying it? And I was like, no. And he was like, then why don't you quit? And then I did quit, and someone actually reached out to me and they were like, I just want to make sure that like you're not stepping down because this is hard, and like, can you use this as an opportunity to push yourself? And I was like, fuck off, no, I'm good. Like,
No, I
I
don't like
promise,
that.
I'm great at pushing myself. Like, I don't need to
Well,
push myself for this.
I think that is such a great point, though, is so much of like the rhetoric we hear is push through the discomfort and like, work hard and hustle and all that stuff. And I am so, if I hear anything like that, I will unfollow, like mute you, no thank you, not interested. Like I am not in that phase of my life. And I think there are phases of your life, that works for you. I think when you're just getting started in a career, and like I'm not saying work yourself to death at any point is good, but like there's stages of life, and I have reached that kind of crisis point where my values and what I was doing was my values and what I was doing were not aligned, and I had to find a way to reconfigure that. And because you just, I think when you're burnt out, you just say yes. Oh, okay. Well, if I'm already doing all this, I might as well do that. And you just literally don't know how to say no.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it comes too into play. I know, at least when I think about, how I feel towards commitments, is like growing up and like in those formative years, there's a lot of commitments, and even though you're a child, you're kind of constantly being asked to commit to all of these different things. But when you're a child, everything that you commit to usually ends in like 2 to 3 months, and then you become an adult. And everything that you commit to happens until you quit. And,
Like
like,
they just
what do you
expect you
do
to
with
keep
that?
going.
And yeah, there's like, no, oh, I just don't like want to do it again. It's like, no, I have to say I don't want to do this anymore. And I feel like I need a reason. Like, I want my parents to like sign a permission slip that tells me, like, you don't have to do things you don't want to do anymore. And sometimes I feel like my partner's literally doing that for me, being like, if you're not happy, just quit. And I'm like, I'll get in trouble. Who's gonna get me in trouble? I don't know, but someone will.
I absolutely. I mean, I thought I was going to disappoint so many people by stepping down off these committees, but then it was kind of like, how much do I care if I do? Because like the people that I'm worried about disappointing are not really the people that I need to impress right now. So like, I'm good. Like, no, thank you. I'm done trying to be everything to everyone. I have identified the people in my life that I care about their opinions and the relationships, and if they're not disappointed in me, then I feel like I'm on the right track, like I'm doing good.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's just like That's one of those things that you have to keep reminding yourself. You don't get to just realize it and then know it forever.
Yeah, well, and I think burnout, like a lot of recoveries, it's not something that you can just like, you're not just done. It is forever because you were brought up with certain tendencies and you were taught certain lessons about life, and you it takes a long time to unlearn all of those. And so I say burnout recovery can be, you know, a certain chunk of time, but at the same time, it's totally possible to fall back into those habits. And so you have to make sure you keep working on this and paying attention to it, or else it will absolutely come back again.
Yeah, I think that's the most frustrating part of like trying to recover or make any sort of like meaningful change in behavior is like when you start out, it's like I can't imagine not being exhausted by these things and being stressed by these things and like having these temptations or feeling this way. And I can't imagine having to actively work on not having those feelings for the rest of forever.
Yeah.
So like what's gonna happen? Like
Yeah. I mean, I do think it gets easier once your habits start changing and that kind of stuff, but you'll have people ask things of you and you'll be like, "Oh, you know, the old me would have totally said yes to that." The new me, and maybe there's an in-between me that says, "Oh, I did say yes to that, but I didn't want to," but you'll learn from yourself and say, you know what, next time I'm gonna say no, right? You're not always gonna get it right away, but you can kind of help yourself along the way, and it's habit building and just unlearning a lot of like messed up stuff from your past. That I mean that I think burnout, anybody going through burnout should absolutely, you know, still be going through therapy. I think that they're kind of, you know, they work well together. And if you're going to be tackling some difficult stuff, like obviously you want a mental health professional in your corner too. There's, I mean, that should just be like a blanket statement for everyone, but, you know.
Yeah, I feel like I don't remember what I was trying to say. I guess what I think about when I think about any type of like change or like thinking forward about recovery is like I made a lot of changes like over the course of the pandemic and like the person I am now and the person that I was in like early 2020, like we don't know her.
Yep.
But like there's a part of me that like mourns some of the things that
Yeah.
lost that like were lost and were changed. Like I used to love going out and going to concerts and being around people and like doing things, and now I'm like I just want to be alone or I want to be with like one person. And I know
Yeah.
part of that is like growing up and just
Yeah.
like, you know, I was 23, 24 when the pandemic started and now I'm older than that. But I guess what I want to know is like, as you've gone through this like burnout recovery experience, like, do you ever kind of feel stuck between who you were before and who you are now, or has it been more of like an even metamorphosis?
I think the hard part is a lot of people don't see what's going on inside of you. I'm very visible in terms of I mean, I put it all out there. So I'm very visible on Instagram and LinkedIn and places where I'm openly talking about this stuff. So it might be more visible for people to see the change in me. But for the most people, you might not be parading this stuff around. And so that's all internal growth. That's really hard for other people to see. And the hard part is, you know, seeing people and hanging out with people that knew the old you and them having certain expectations of who you are, and you having to be like, you know, that is who I was, but it's not who I am now. And that can lead to some difficult, you know, relationships. Like they're, and you might mourn those relationships with people too, right? It's like we used to always do this or that, and now we are not like that. And it's sad, but and that was a part of you, and there's no judgment in that being, you know, a part of you, but you can accept, you know, I am making intentional, healthy choices for myself now, and that means a lot to me. And it's always having to come back to like feeling like I feel so proud of myself because of the things that I've turned down and just actually being focused on what I want for once, which I really feel like in many, many years, I really had no idea. And so you have to just like have your own compass. And even though people can't see the change in you, like feeling proud of yourself when you actually aren't making the change because you can see it in yourself.
I love that. I think that is a beautiful note for us to end on. So I would love to know, Monica, if you could share with our listeners, how can people find you? How can you help people buy houses or sell houses, I guess? And where can people like find you, hang out with you, give you money, etc.?
I'm a realtor in Bloomington, Illinois, so your listeners probably don't buy houses here. But I can find agents all over the country and have a lot of referrals. So you can always hit me up if you need a referral wherever you live. But primarily, I'm focusing on my burnout business. If you are aware of any conferences or other podcasts or opportunities, that's really what I'm kind of booking for next year, looking for that stuff. But you can work with me privately. You can find all my information on MonicaBullington.com. I don't know my own name. On Instagram, I'm Monica.Bullington. I'm on LinkedIn too. That's where you'll find most of my content is going on to those two places. So I would love to connect if you listen with this and share something that you connected with, because that's really why I love doing this, is hearing people talk to me afterwards. So come talk to me.
I love that, and I love a visibility plan for 2024. We're here for it. Thank you so much for joining me today. The
Thank
third
you.
time really was the charm.
Yeah, we nailed it.
And thank you to our listeners. We'll be back next week for another episode of Messy in the Middle.